Hi, everyone, and welcome to Val Talks Pets, the forum for pet parents and enthusiasts alike. Having been in the pet industry for over 10 years now, I'm going to share with you issues and questions that arise as I work with pet parents on a day-to-day basis. I am not a veterinarian, but I do have certifications in canine, feline, small animal, fish and herptile, and avian health and nutrition from the University of California, Davis Extension.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining me on this episode of Val Talks Pets. Well, last episode, I looked at vaccines for cats. In the interest of fairness, this episode is, you guessed it, vaccines for dogs. Let's get at it. Just like in cats, dogs go into the vet for their vaccines. And the question then begs, what is my dog being vaccinated for? Let's start just like we did with cats and identify what a vaccine is and how it works. Let's start with how a vaccine actually works. According to vcaanimalhospitals.com, vaccines work by stimulating the body's immune system to recognize and fight a particular microorganism, such as a virus, bacteria, or other infectious organisms. As we know with human vaccines, the idea is to trick the immune system into thinking it knows this invader and therefore is geared up to fight it if it enters the system. Now, as VCA points out, while a vaccine can prevent illness, it cannot block microorganisms from getting into the body. This means that sometimes a dog may not look sick, thanks to the vaccine, but the dog can still spread the invading microorganisms to other dogs. VCA sets out for us the three major types of vaccines. They are modified live vaccines, killed inactivated vaccines, and subunit vaccines. Modified live vaccines contains live organisms that are weakened or genetically modified, so they will not produce disease but will multiply in the dog's body. Live vaccines induce a stronger, longer-lasting immunity than inactivated vaccines. Killed inactivated vaccines are prepared using actual organisms or genetically modified organisms that have been killed by various treatments. Because these vaccines are not as strong, they may be an added ingredient to boost. Subunit vaccines are more commonly called recombinant DNA vaccines. They are vaccines in which the infectious organism has been broken apart and only certain parts are included in the vaccine. Either way, most vaccines are given by a needle. There are a few that go in by drops in the nose, but most are the jab. When you take your dog into the vet for their shots, the vet will administer what is called core vaccines. These are the ones recommended for puppies and adult dogs. The non-core vaccines are optional and are chosen based on the dog's risk to the specific types of disease. The core vaccines in Canada are as follows: rabies, distemper, parvovirus, and adenovirus 2 or canine hepatitis. The non-core vaccines are Bordetella, leptospirosis, which is sometimes included in the core vaccines but does not fall into, but does. The non-core vaccines are Bordetella, leptospirosis, which is sometimes included in the core vaccines, but does fall into the non-core vaccines. Canine influenza, parainfluenza, and endovirus intranasal, borreliosis, which is Lyme disease, and coronavirus. Risk factors to include the non-vaccines are the number of dogs in the home, are they exposed to wild animals, age and health status, plus also travel. Let's look at the core vaccines. All right, number one, let's look at rabies. According to the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association, all mammals, including humans, are at risk of contracting rabies. Rabies is almost always fatal, and as the CVMA points out, signs can vary. So, just as we discussed with cats, the caution is with encounters with wild animals, either outside or chance entrance into your home, or a bat coming into the house and the dog going after it and getting bit. Number two is canine distemper. CVMA states that this virus causes respiratory, digestive, and nervous system signs in affected dogs and can be fatal in about half of unvaccinated dogs. This virus is spread by discharges from the nose and eyes of infected dogs. Number three is canine hepatitis. This disease is caused by viral agent CAV1 and is spread by infected urine. According to CVMA, the virus may cause liver failure, eye damage, respiratory problems, and can be fatal. Commonly encountered clinical signs are vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea, and occasionally coughing. Number four in the core vaccines is parvovirus. Parvo is spread through infected feces, and unfortunately, I have had more than one person who purchased a dog from a pet store, read into that puppy mill dog, that had parvo and ended up with huge, huge vet bills trying to save the puppy's life. As CVMA states, death in as early as 48 to 72 hours is possible. Sudden death may also occur. Signs, which include severe vomiting and diarrhea that frequently contain blood, result from virus damage to the digestive tract lining. And the worst part about parvo is it is very resistant in the environment and is easily carried around on people's shoes and other objects, leading to virus transfer. That is the core vaccines that your dog will be vaccinated against. Let's look at the puppy schedule for vaccines. According to VCA Canada, the core vaccines minus the rabies are given in one injection at 6 to 8 weeks, 12 weeks, and then 16 weeks. Some puppies will get a booster at 20 weeks of age. The rabies is given at 12 to 16 weeks of age. All right, let's look at the non-core vaccines. Bordetellosis is a bacteria, and it is the cause of kennel cough. Dogs that are going to a kennel or other high-risk activities or places like the dog park or dog show or training class, etc., should probably be vaccinated for bordetellosis. Canine parainfluenza influenza virus is also a cause of kennel cough. It often presents as a co-infection with other kennel cough agents. Leptospirosis, according to the CVMA, has a number of variants or biotypes. Some biotypes are more severe than others. For some biotypes of the bacterium, there is no vaccine commercially available in Canada, but vaccines do protect against the most commonly diagnosed ones. I have heard of the rise of leptospirosis, so it is something to speak to your vet about, as it is transferable bacteria to humans. Borreliosis, or Lyme disease, is spread by ticks. It's a crapshoot with ticks because not all carry Lyme. Lyme infections affect the kidneys, joints, and heart in dogs. Dogs can develop symptoms such as lethargy, fever, lameness, poor appetite, and swollen glands. And for us, even with tick protection, we still find ticks on the dog and occasionally on the cat. And I have not been immune either. Coronavirus, a word we all became way too familiar with, can cause mild and self-limiting disease in young dogs, although co-infection with parvovirus is considered to be responsible for more serious digestive symptom illness. Dogs in those high-risk environments may need to be considered for this vaccination. So, vaccinations are a real controversy, as we know, not just with humans, but animals too. There is some belief that many of the autoimmune diseases we are seeing increase in the pet world can be linked to over-vaccinating. There are many holistic veterinarians and homeopaths that believe there is a better way to protect our pets than repeatedly vaccinating them. There are several resources to learn more. It's important to take into account all the variables and to have an open conversation with your vet if you have concerns. I also personally think that if you wish to discuss your concerns with your vet, their response should be to give you the information, allowing you to discuss your concerns, and in no way should you feel judged, bullied, or reprimanded. After all, you are just looking out for what is best for your pet. So, as always, do what you feel you are comfortable with after, of course, doing some research. Because, as I say, knowing is caring.
Thank you for listening to Val Talks Pets. Please remember to follow or subscribe to ensure that you never miss an episode. To really help the show and to make it easier for others to find, please rate and review each episode that you find interesting and helpful. And don't forget that you can also email me at val@valtalkspets.com with topics you would like me to address or with any questions you may have. Also, check out my website at valtalkspets.com and let me know what you think and how we can improve upon it. Thanks for caring!